Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. Jamaican reggae band Inner Circle getting us underway today on Route 51 with a song about police and those who live outside the law, a song that became a top 10 hit in the U.S. in the 90s and later became the theme song for the popular television show Cops. I'm Glenn Mobrick. Today on Route 51, we're looking at the tension that sometimes exists between law enforcement officers, the public, and the media that reports fairly or unfairly on their actions. We're profiling an ambitious new project called Beyond the Headlines, which is being rolled out in communities across Wisconsin, including the greater Wausau area. The program kicks off next Wednesday evening with a forum at 7 p.m. at North Central Technical College titled Building Trust, Law Enforcement, the Media, and You. Well, I'll be part of that panel discussion, as will two of our guests today on Route 51, Chief Ben Bliven of the Wausau Police Department and Sarah Gray, the news director of WSAW-TV7. Also joining us this morning is Meg Turville-Heitz. She's the grant program director of the Wisconsin Humanities Council and the Beyond the Headlines project manager. We're going to take a hard look at the business of journalism and law enforcement, why both professions have their detractors in today's society, and we'll try to figure out what we're doing right and what we can do to improve. If you've got opinions, you can join the conversation by giving us a call at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a comment on our webpage, wpr.org/route51. Ben, Sarah, and Meg, thank you so much for being with us today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Meg, Beyond the Headlines is a project that's being pushed by the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Explain the work that that organization does for listeners who may not know.
Well, the Wisconsin Humanities Council is funded by a combination of state, federal, and private funds. We are a nonprofit organization that began in 1971. And our mission is really in the public humanities to support and create programs that use history, culture, discussion, and really to strengthen community life for everyone in Wisconsin. So a lot of our goals that are coming out of the Beyond the Headlines project really fit in with that idea of talking about issues and helping people kind of understand the relevance of what's going on in their communities to their lives.
Tell us what inspired the initiative. Why did you folks think this was important?
Well, there's two different things. As we'd been talking for some time, I have a background in journalism, and we'd been talking about a lot of the conversations in the strife that was going on in communities had a lot to do with how people were misinformed or perhaps reacting strongly. And we saw this whole sort of people standing in opposition to each other and getting louder and louder in doing so. And it was really kind of hampering conversation. It was hampering the ability for people to be able to come together to find solutions to their problems. At the same time, the Mellon Foundation in conjunction with the Pulitzer Prizes came up with a project they called Democracy and the Informed Citizen. And we applied for funding for that and were awarded a grant to do our own programming in the state. And this is administrated by the Federation of State Humanities Councils. And we were given the project that we designed. We decided we wanted to have local communities really feed into this concept of democracy and the informed citizen by looking at it through local issues, something that matters to the community, and then seeing how having quality journalism and transparency, et cetera, in their community can kind of help them be more involved in their civic lives.
Well, Beyond the Headlines is hosting 5 events in Wausau starting next week on May 9th and ending in November. The topics include trust in the media, race relations, and credibility in law enforcement. Explain the importance of law enforcement in this equation.
Well, law enforcement was the issue that was raised by our local steering committee in Wausau. This has been a national conversation. We've heard about it. There's even been events, incidents in Madison where people felt that they're had been a lack of communication about what really happened in a shooting or any of the any time you kind of have this conversation happening, there's people that'll come out on either side. They'll either say it's being sensationalized, or they want to know what's going on in their community, and they don't believe what they see. They may think that through the gossip or through what they saw through their own eyes, they think something else actually happened because it doesn't make sense to them. And so law enforcement seemed like a really good fit with this because of this national conversation.
Well, tell us about the event at North Central Technical College this Wednesday night. Law enforcement is a big part of that.
Right. And so the kickoff for this, we're having three panelists actually come in to kind of open the conversation up with that national dialogue. We have Kathleen Bartson-Culver is moderating this for us. She's the head of the Center for Journalism Ethics at UW-Madison, and she has a background as a journalist, but she focuses on law and ethics in journalism, et cetera. Mike Leary is he's currently the editor of the San Antonio Express News, but he won a Pulitzer Award for coverage at the Philadelphia Inquirer that looked at crime in the schools. And so you're dealing with really kind of a sensitive population to begin with, and people who are going to be very heated up about the kinds of things that are being done because kids are involved, and it required a lot of work with the media. And I mean, with the police. And at the same time, Sue Riesling is another one of the people who will be on that panel, and she is the former UW police chief. She did a lot of work during, for example, the various different protests, et cetera, working a lot with media and the community.
And this was at UW-Madison.
Correct. And she's now the executive director of the International Association of Campus Law Enforcement Administrators, but she's also got a high national profile for the kind of work that she's done. And then, of course, we have the local representatives in Ben Bliven, Scott Parks, with the Marathon County Sheriff's Office, and Sarah and yourself. And we're hoping that this will open up with this national conversation, and then we can drill down a little bit more deeply into what's this really mean for WASA, and where does WASA fit in that national conversation.
And that's, again, 7 o'clock next Wednesday evening, May 9th at North Central Technical College. All you have to do is show up, but seating is limited, so we do encourage you to get involved in this because it's something that's important. Ben, you're the chief of the WASA Police Department and also a panelist for two of these events, including the one coming up in Wednesday. Why did you think it was important for the WASA Police Department to be involved?
Well, I think if there's one thing that law enforcement nationally has to do a better job of, and that is working with our community to build relationships and build trust in our communities. That's essential to us being successful in law enforcement, which is, you know, obviously reducing crime, but also reducing the fear of crime and helping solve community problems. So it's really exciting to be a part of this event because I think this is a good opportunity for us to talk with our media partners about these issues that exist in our community and build trust in our community.
What are you hoping to learn from the community in the coming months at these events?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think our community is, our community is very supportive, very giving. But I want to know from our community how do you interpret what you hear through the media, and not just through mainstream media, but through social media? When you see a story, do you believe it immediately at face value, or do you think critically about what is going on in the community that would lead to some of these issues, and what can we do to help you understand from our perspective why police behave the way they do, or why the media behaves the way they do, so that you can understand better what is happening in your own community?
Well, what do you think the WASA Police Department's relationship is with the public at large right now, and are there improvements that need to be made?
There will always be improvements that can be made. There's no doubt about that. We can always do a better job at our job. But I think we have a good relationship with our community. I think we have a lot of support from people in our community and from organizations in our community. I think we have great relationships with our media partners, and we're all just trying to do our best to make our community a better place. And I think we have a really good relationship right now with our community.
Sarah Gray, you're the news director at WSAW, WZAW-TV in Wausau. That's something the two of us have in common because I held that position for a while back in the 1990s. Mm-hmm. Tell us about your involvement in Beyond the Headlines, what you hope to accomplish.
Well, I think when we first started talking about this conversation, it was kind of a twofold piece. I think we've seen this national movement, but I think we have a very different perspective here in Wausau. I think that was the first thing that Ben and I talked about when we sat around this table, was that there's in certain parts of our country, they are very much at odds. Media and police are not on the same team.
Right.
And here in our area, I don't think that's the case. I think we have a really good relationship. So we talked about, one, why is that the case? And how can we share that model so that it becomes more of the norm across the country?
What are you hoping to share with the community about your work at Channel 7 and the role that the news media plays in civic life?
I would love to be able to share what our ethics really look like. I think in each newsroom across the country, there's a different set, a different standard, a different understanding of what is news. I think that comes from the culture. So I'd love to be able to have that conversation. This is what news looks like at Channel 7. This is what we find important in our community, and this is why we make the decisions we do.
That's the most important question you can ask as a journalist. What is the truth, and mm-hmm. how do you decide what the truth is and what's important and what
isn't
important?
And how do you find it?
Right.
How do you go about finding that truth?
Ben, how would you characterize the police department's interaction with the local media? Sarah says, compared to some places, we're not doing so badly in Wausau.
Yeah, I think she's absolutely right. Last year, I attended the FBI National Academy for 10 weeks, which has law enforcement officials from all over the country and world. And, you know, when I listened to some of those law enforcement executives talk about their relationships with their media and their perspectives of the media, it's very different than my experience here in Wausau. I think, you know, maybe it's because it's a smaller market. Maybe it's because we make effort to have good relationships to, you know, at the Wausau Police Department, anytime a media representative calls for a story, we make a point to give them an interview, whatever the topic is, because I think that's important for us to support their mission and to get our message out into the community. So,
I'm the first to tell you that's not true of all agencies we work with, and it makes a huge difference. And I think it's a partnership that works both ways. We allow for you to be able to get your opinions out there, which I think is something that not all agencies in our area and our state take advantage of.
But is it the role of the news media to just be like a stenographer for the police department and just here's what they say? Or do you have to dig sometimes
absolutely.
A little bit deeper?
Absolutely. And I think we've been in interviews where it's we appreciate your opinion, but let's talk deeper about this. Or in this case, you know, this is really a platform for you to give your piece. And I think we have both of those interviews often.
Meg, Beyond the Headlines is hosting events in Madison, Eau Claire, Superior, and Milwaukee, in addition to what's coming up in Wausau. Why the statewide focus?
Well, we're a statewide organization, and we want to make sure that, you know, we could get out into various different areas. We looked at places where we thought that there was enough of a community base that we could work with if we were going to go into. So we kind of started this by going and talking to different groups and saying, hey, would you be interested in doing this? And where we found enough people that were willing to take it on, that's where we decided to go. And we wanted to spread it out a little bit. So we already held the one in Madison that was on Wisconsin's Water Future. And we actually had a panel that was designed for training journalists and the public on some of the big issues involving water and talking really about what is the future going to be of water in Wisconsin. And we felt that that was really important because there's so many water stories going on and there's so little, you know, you have to know so much information. So it was kind of an educating the reporter.
Is there going to be a focus on crime as part of it in Milwaukee?
Milwaukee right now is actually looking more at a focus on race and ethnicity and kind of the youth movement. This one is still in the formation. They're still working on how they're going to design their particular project. That one is really kind of taking off partly as a response to the Sherman Park issues that happened last year, where there was a lot of misinformation coming out about who was rioting and who is out in the streets.
But you know that you're bringing up crime too. At the same time, you're talking about riots. You're talking, you know, anytime you have communities where there's intense levels of poverty, crime mm-hmm. goes with it. It's just the way it is. So I imagine that's what you'll be talking about at least to some extent in Milwaukee. Ben and Sarah, how would your jobs be different if you were working in Milwaukee instead of in Wausau? Ben?
Well, there'd be a lot more to do, I think. You know, anytime you expand and have a large group of people in the area, you're going to have a lot more to do. You're going to have a lot more complex issues. You know, I think, you know, being in Wausau, in terms of just focusing on the relationship between police and media here, we have an advantage because we have a smaller community. We can go knock on a door, pick up a phone and make a phone call and know exactly who we're talking to and do that over and over again. And that isn't always the case in some of these bigger cities. And I think you can extrapolate that to a lot of other issues that exist. You know, trust comes down to a personal relationship at the end of the day.
Sarah, same question for you. How would your job be different as a news director if you were working in Milwaukee? And you've already worked in Green Bay, so.
that's not quite the same. But I think you look at the different kinds of stories you end up covering. In a place like Wausau, we have, maybe a handful of murders, of real violent crimes a year, and that means we get to cover them from day one to the end of the trial, at the end of an investigation.
You've also got room for good news, too.
Exactly.
Which isn't always the case in
the
big city.
Our newscasts look very different. It's much less crime-driven, much more enterprise stories. What kind of stories do we need to come up with to fill these shows, to talk about what's happening in our community? So there's a lot more variation.
Today on Route 51, we're talking about Beyond the Headlines. It's an ambitious program that looks to bridge the divide between law enforcement, the media, and the public. With our guests, Chief Ben Bliven of the Wausau Police Department, Sarah Gray, News Director of WSAW-TV7, and Meg Turville-Heitz. She's the Beyond the Headlines Project Manager. I'm Glenn Moberg. A reminder that Ben, Sarah, and I will be part of that kickoff event, the panel discussion next Wednesday evening at 7 at North Central Technical College. If you'd like to join the conversation today, give us a call at 1-800-780-9742, 1-800-780-9742, or put a comment on the Route 51 webpage, wpr.org/Route 51. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about how police interact with minority communities. Here's Kendrick Lamar, a rapper who's been identified with the Black Lives Matter movement.
I remember you was conflicted, misusing your influence. Sometimes I did the same, abusing my power full of resentment. Resentment that turned into a deep depression. Found myself screaming in the hotel room. Lucifer was all around me. So I kept running. Until I found my safe haven. I was trying to convince myself the stripes I got, making myself realize where my foundation was.
Junior Mervin with his classic Police and Thieves, taking us into the next segment of Route 51 as we discuss Beyond the Headlines, an effort to bridge the gap between the media, law enforcement, and the public. Our guests today are Chief Ben Bliven of the Wausau Police Department, Sarah Gray, News Director of WSAW-TV7, and Meg Turville-Heitz, the Beyond the Headlines Project Manager. I'm Glenn Moberg, 1-800-780-9742. If you'd like to join the conversation, it's 1-800-780-9742. Ben, the Wausau community has been through a couple of tragic events in recent years. There was the death of Isaiah Powell and the divisive trial of Dylan Yang, the young Hmong, well, we'll call him what he was. He was a boy, although he was tried as adult, that followed. There was also the mass shooting in the surrounding communities of Wausau that resulted in four deaths, including Everest Metro Police Detective Jason Weiland. How have those events changed the nature of your work and the work of law enforcement in the area?
Well, you know, I was listening to the Kendrick Lamar track, and I wrote down some of his lyrics that said, I forgot what my foundation was. And, you know, for law enforcement, you know, I think sometimes we do lose track of what is our foundation, what is our mission, what are we here to accomplish. And, you know, at the Wausau Police Department, our mission is to strive for excellence, partner with our community, enhance the quality of life. So at the end of the day, we have a vested interest in enhancing the quality of life for people that live here. We live here, families live here, we have a vested interest in that quality of life. And so, you know, with those incidents specifically, you know, we have to remember that you know, we serve a wide variety of people, and we have to serve them equally. We have to serve them in a way to enhance their quality of life. And like we talked about in the last segment, that comes down to building relationships. And one of the things that we need to do in law enforcement better is help our community understand why we do what we do. And I think that was a part of the concern in the Dylan Yang case was there was a lot of misconceptions about why we did what we did, mm-hmm. why the criminal justice system did what they did, and so education is a really important part of that for us in terms of helping people understand why we do what we do.
How did the police department interact with the media during those events?
Well, it's probably a mixed bag if I'm going to be fair. I think that you know, we didn't turn away the media, but we weren't as transparent probably as we could have been in a variety of ways. And I think that's where law enforcement's history comes into play. Is 20 years ago when I started in law enforcement, we just didn't say anything ever. And I think that still lingers within the law enforcement profession is when we talk to media, there is a guardedness. And that's true not just when we talk with the media, but when we talk with the community in general, because we don't want to misspeak. We don't want to give information critical information for cases that may not be for the public right now as we investigate. So I think that came into play that, you know, we have to do a better job of trying to be transparent and speaking clearly and giving information to our community to help build that quality of life.
Well, during the mass shooting last year about this time, we had regular briefings from the police department with the local media. You had a place set up where people could go, and the news media was kept informed.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say, you know, I've reflected on that, and, you know, that the media coverage and our role in that media coverage as the incident was ongoing, and yes, we did that, but I still think we can do a lot better in terms of how we communicate that critical information to our community.
Sarah, what do TV stations and the news media need from the police during crisis situations like a mass shooting incident?
Well, I think that what the community is looking for, what we hear from the community is am I safe? Are my kids safe? Where is safe? And so I think processes that you guys have put into place since that shooting, we talk about that Wausau Metro Strong and how they put that new emergency alert system into place, those early facts, the who, what, when, where, right? You can't always give us the why, can't give us the how, but the who, what, when, where. What is safe? Are my children safe? Can I go home right now? Am I going to be – if I drive from here to there, will I be okay getting there? I think that's what we hear most, and I think what we see go viral most on social media right after something happens is those quick facts. Something is happening on this corner. I've got – you know, my street is blocked off. That's what we hear, I think, most often.
And it's important – so important for the police to at least tell you something. You know, we shouldn't be stonewalled in a situation like that because we're serving a public and the public needs to know for their own safety. So we understand, I think, that the police can't tell us everything.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But they need to tell us something.
And oftentimes I think what it comes down to is I think our first move is get on scene. What do I see? As a reporter on scene, I can say I am on this corner here and here, and I see officers on this corner. This house is surrounded. There's a SWAT team behind me. And so that's usually our first fact is we're on scene. This is what we see. And if we can bolster that with police say there is an active situation in this home, please stay away, I think that's our ideal is that if we can get the nuggets of information, just the who, what, when, where is important.
Yeah, that's why, you know, Ben, what I was saying is that those regular briefings from the police department during the mass shooting incident were invaluable.
Yeah, absolutely agree with all of that. And sometimes, you know, we like to think that we're too busy for that communication. And I think the truth is that we aren't too busy for that. We just don't prioritize that. And I think if we go back to a couple of years ago when there was Dr. Black at North Central Healthcare, and there was a huge law enforcement response to that incident, which is Dr. Black is a person with a weapon in their building. And it turned out that that was a false alarm. But what we failed to do was really communicate at all to our community. Social media, we didn't communicate to the mainstream media at all. And I think that was a failure on part because people are concerned about the people that they know that are in that building, their employees,
right.
their families. And we didn't communicate that. We didn't have any victims at this time. And that would have been a simple message for us to do. So as we move forward, we can always do better. And we try to analyze those things to see what can we do better in the future.
Meg Turville Heights, your reaction to what you've just heard.
Well, I think that this really kind of gets at the whole idea of what Beyond the Headlines is all about, is really having this conversation in the community about how do people know what they know and how do they find out what information they need to proceed with their lives, whether it's policy-making decisions or whether it's do I step out of my house today or not. And I think that they're really getting at that whole thing that people's perceptions that they hear from that larger conversation can be driving their concerns about what is happening in their community now. Even if there is a great relationship between media and law enforcement in Wausau, people are hearing these other conversations, and that's going on in the back of their head. Can they trust what they're hearing?
Ben, with the mass shooting incident, you followed up with that with a response called Wausau Metro Strong. Take a couple of minutes to tell us about that.
Yeah, Wausau Metro Strong is the cross-representation that exists in that group from our community is unbelievable. There's people from all sorts of business backgrounds, public government backgrounds, educator backgrounds, elected officials that are on that committee. And, Wausau Metro Strong really came out of the movement to really do better for our community, to try and prevent things like what happened on March 22nd of 2017 from happening ever again in our community. And, one of the initiatives, there's been a number of initiatives, but one of them is a communication tool. We were just talking about getting information out to our community. And so, Chad Billab from the Marathon County Sheriff's Department took that head on. And we have a tool called Everbridge now, which is a tool that our community members can opt in for text messages about emergency communications from the Marathon County Sheriff's Department. And so when issues like this arise and significant issues are going on, we can send it messages directly to our community about what to do, what not to do, and what their concerns might be.
And that shooting incident did change things. One of the victims of the shooting, attorney and guardian ad litem Sarah Quartzsan, was singled out because of her work with the wife and intended target of the suspect. Detective Jason Weiland lost his life responding to that tragedy. And we ended up with Sarah's Law, which was signed by the governor, providing additional protections for attorneys who work in divorce and child custody cases. And now you have to pass through metal detectors in order to get into the Marathon County Courthouse. So there's been kind of a loss of innocence.
Yeah, I would say so. I think, in terms of Sarah's Law, family attorneys have to handle some of the most emotionally charged situations of any attorneys. And so creating laws that protect them from things like what happened to Sarah, it was very, very important. And that was an initiative of Wausau Metro Strong. So I think those types of things are very, very important. In terms of the security at the courthouse, it's essentially like going through airport security now to get into the courthouse, and that provides for safety and security at a time when, often in the courthouse there's a lot of emotions, especially in that family courtroom, and so now at least there is some protection for people that go into that courthouse.
No more running into the courthouse in a hurry in order to get the police reports. Mm-hmm. It becomes a little bit of a chore now, Sarah.
That's right.
Gray.
It's a more intensive process, but I think we actually did a large investigative piece looking into Sarah's Law, trying to find the national implications, and that we found that there's this is going to be regarded almost as a case study. How does this law work? Will it change other laws in other states, because this is something that's not necessarily the case in most states.
Absolutely.
And so they anticipate that it will become a case study for other states. Will it make a difference?
How is the relationship between the Wausau Police Department and the Hmong community following the Dylan Yang case? We had a Hmong man who was a young man, a boy actually, 15 years old, who was implicated in the murder. He was tried as an adult. He was convicted. The fact that he was tried as an adult led to a demonstration. The demonstration led to some hard feelings involving county government and involving the police department. What's been the fallout from all of that?
Well, I think whenever you have difficulty or complexity, there's opportunity for doing better. And, you know, I would say that, you know, my perspective is that I think the police department, the Wausau Police Department, had good relationships with our Hmong community at that time, you know, to the point where, you know, we were approached by the Hmong American Center to go on radio and talk about the Dylan Yang case specifically. We talked to Hmong leadership at the Hmong American Center in regards to that. So I think our relationship with the Hmong community was what allowed us to be asked to come in and have those types of discussions. But like I said, I mean, we can always do better, and I think we do continue to do better in that regard. You know, it's important for us to continue to develop relations at with the Hmong community, with Hmong leadership, which we continue to do. And I also think that it's important for us, for our police department, to reflect our community. You know, we actively are trying to recruit people from the African American community and Hispanic community to be a part of our police department, and we have 4 Hmong police officers, which really is helpful for us.
I would say invaluable.
Absolutely.
It has to be invaluable. Well, frequently we hear stories of communities across the country outraged due to interactions between law enforcement and people of color, interactions that too often have ended with the deaths of unarmed black men. What goes through your mind when you hear those stories?
Well, you know, it's you know, I'm a human being, so I have a lot of feelings and emotions just at the, you know, at headlines and at statements that people make, and so I really try to kind of hold off on making a decision and be critical about analyzing the incident before I make any judgment, because I try not to use the phrase Black Lives Matter or Blue Lives Matter, because I think instantaneously if I use those phrases, it's as if I'm taking a side, and I don't want to take a side. I think that you know, our relationships are important at every level, and words matter, and how we communicate matters.
Well, there have been some marches and demonstrations supporting Black Lives Matter in Wausau,
yep,
organized by some of the local churches. And you had a member of the Police and Fire Commission, Tony Patterson, who was involved in Black Lives Matter. You say as a police chief, you try not to use that particular label, but it's a movement. It's something that's going on, and it's got to be something that you folks have to respond to in one way or another.
Absolutely it is. And so, you know, one of our core values at the police department, we talk about our core values religiously, you know, their professionalism, accountability, integrity, and respect. So I think, you know, it all comes down to me for, you know, for our relationships with the minority communities to respect. You know, Black Lives Matter is a movement that is here because people want to be respected. They want to have and feel like they're given the dignity they deserve as human beings. And so that's our responsibility as law enforcement, is to treat everybody with the dignity and respect that they deserve as human beings. And that's our goal.
You mentioned Blue Lives Matter. We lost Jason Weiland. You know, when something like that happens, cops, for better or for worse, have to feel that there's a target on their backs.
Well, there's no question that cops feel like there's a target on their backs. I mean, we see incidents across the country on a semi-regular basis where police officers are shot and killed just because they're wearing a uniform and they're eating lunch. And that also is unacceptable, because we deserve the integrity and respect as human beings that we are. We have families just like everybody else, and we deserve that too.
Sarah Gray, how should media walk that fine line, being responsive to the concerns of minority communities, but also being sensitive to the incredibly hard and vital job that law enforcement does?
I think our responsibility at the end of the day is finding truth. And I think that's what polls, studies across the country in this time, they say that our responsibility and what the public looks to is truth. So I think it's our job to hear both sides, and I think it's almost never both sides. It's always multiple sides. So to take in the big picture and say, this is what we can say. This is true. This is what happened. And oftentimes, I think what's difficult about our position is that we can't do that overnight either. Just like police have investigations, our investigations take time too. And so until we can compile all those facts ourselves and say, okay, we've done the work. This is the work that we did. These are the documents we requested, the tapes that we found, the body camera footage that we dug through, and this is where we come down to find truth. Oftentimes we rely on sources and we rely on the police to say this is what happened, and we rely on witnesses to say, well, this is what I saw. So it's – I think that's the frustrating part, is that it takes time for us, too, to boil all of that down to say this is truth.
Meg Turville Heights, your reaction?
Well, I think that's the basic premise here, is that you have to have that time. And a lot of times one of the things that we do is we respond with a lot of the top of the head kinds of things that are going on in our mind, you know, our past experiences, whatever we've felt in the past. And if we had heard this national conversation or anything else like that, there's almost an instantaneous reaction that people have. And a lot of times they don't wait around long enough to find out what the facts are before they start their conversation. And a lot of that gets, you know, ends up leading people to follow preconceived notions that may not bear out when you have all those facts. So that's part of, you know, actually part of why the Humanities Council really is involved in this kind of a thing, is the need to have those thoughtful processes and interpret what's really going on, that we need to collect that knowledge.
Today on Route 51, we're talking about Beyond the Headlines, an ambitious program looking to bridge the divide between law enforcement, the media, and the public, with Chief Ben Bliven of the Wausau Police Department, Sarah Gray, News Director of WSAW-TV7, and Meg Turville Heights, the Beyond the Headlines Project Manager. I'm Glenn Moberg. A reminder that Chief Bliven, Sarah Gray, and I will be part of the kickoff of that event at a panel discussion next Wednesday evening at 7 at North Central Technical College. If you'd like to join the conversation today, give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. 1-800-780-9742, or put a comment on the Route 51 webpage, wpr.org/route51. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about bias in the media. Here's a song by Hedgehoppers Anonymous.
It's Good News Week. Someone's dropped a bomb somewhere, contaminating atmosphere and blackening the sky. It's Good News Week. Someone's found a way to give the rotting dead a will to live, go on and never die. Have you heard the news? What did it say? Who's won that race? What's the weather like today? It's Good News Week.
Don Henley with his sardonic critique of broadcast journalism, taking us into the next segment of Route 51. As we talk about Beyond the Headlines, an effort to bridge the gap between the media, law enforcement, and the public. Our guest today, Chief Ben Bliven of the Wausau Police Department, Sarah Gray, the news director of WSAW-TV7, and Meg Turville Heights, the Beyond the Headlines project manager. I'm Glenn Moberg, 1-800-780-9742, if you'd like to join the conversation. Sir, I want to use Don Henley's song as kind of a jumping-off point to this part of the conversation. Here are the lyrics. There's the bubble-headed bleach blonde on the news at 5. She'll tell you about the plane crash with the gleam in her eye. It's interesting when people die. And then the next verse, can we film the operation? Is the head dead yet? The boys in the newsroom got a running bet. Get the widow on the set. Give me dirty laundry. It's an opinion people have about broadcast news. Do you think it's justified?
I think for decades we have heard, if it bleeds, it leads. And I I think there is some justification to that. I think if you look at our networks and our cable shows especially, it's a lot of screaming. It's a lot of flashy screaming. And I think what I hope is that when you get down to your community level, newsrooms really try to adapt to the culture of the community. So I would say that in a big city like Boston or
Milwaukee.
New York City, even Milwaukee, yep, a lot of that I think happens. People don't respond to that as much here. So I think in small newsrooms and across the country, you see less of that, I'd like to think. I think that depends on the culture of the newsroom as well. But
well, let me tell you what my experience was as a general assignment reporter at Fox News. And this is a story I've told a number of times. But often, this was in the early 90s, we were still using videotape then. Mm-hmm. I'd come in the morning and the managing editor would hand me a tape. And the tape would have been shot by a stringer the night before, a private entrepreneur who just listens to police scanners and goes after mm-hmm. tragic situations. And it would invariably show some poor kid lying in a pool of blood, being resuscitated with the emergency vehicles all around. And then my job was to go to the house, knock on the door, try to talk to the mother and the father, mm-hmm. get the person on camera, and ask open-ended questions. And when the person you're interviewing started to cry, that camera would zoom right in. Then you'd knock on doors in the neighborhood, asking people if they feel safe, another gangland killing. And then it would all get packaged. And then you'd go back to the scene that night and do a stand-up in front of what was left of the pool of blood lying on the street there. And day after day after day of that, and it gives people a very jaundiced, cynical view of what life is like in these cities.
Absolutely.
And it's one reason why I'm in Wausau right now. You know?
Me too. I think that picture is still very accurate in a lot of our cities across the country.
Ben Bliven, is there distrust of the news media by people in law enforcement because of the penchant by some in our business to sensationalize stories, to make things worse than they are, and as I just described, to package human tragedy as entertainment?
Of course. Yeah, absolutely there is. I think there's a view generally from the law enforcement perspective that some of these things don't have to always be shared at the level at which they are shared. There's a lot of tragedy that occurs in our communities that you can talk about. It's important to share the message, to tell the news about what happened and potentially move on. I mean, Sarah and I have had discussions around the coverage of the DCI report release from the March 22nd, 2017 incident. And I had a perspective that some of the video didn't need to be shared. And it was good to have the relationship to be able to talk to Sarah
Absolutely.
About that.
So we came around the table, and I think you shared your concerns that it was bringing up a really tough day. And I think we were able to talk about, I said, what our perspective was that people needed to know the why, what was mm-hmm. in the shooter's mind at the time. And some of the video was graphic, absolutely, and hard to watch, but really showed the shooter. And I think showed what he was, didn't hesitate.
If you're a news director, there's a tendency to show that all the time because you don't want to feel like you're censoring or sugarcoating what happened. But also, there's a matter of ratings.
Well,
if you have dramatic video, it's going to get people to keep watching.
Yes. Yes. That's true, I think, everywhere. People respond to, are engaged by good video, whether that's a happy puppy and playing in the, in the sprinkler, whatever. But also that dramatic, tough, graphic video. People respond to it. People care. But I think there's a measure of ethics that you have to have that conversation. And we do have those conversations in our newsroom. What do we gain by showing this video? Is it just ratings? Is it a better understanding of what happened that day? Is it in this case, it was an understanding of motive. He didn't hesitate.
Right.
He didn't,
there was a reason
he didn't
to do
blink.
It.
He was right.
Meg Turville-Heitz, your reaction to what you just heard?
Well, I think it makes a lot of sense. I mean, there's people respond always to that emotional moment, and there's an awful lot of emotion in those violence things, just as there is emotion in seeing the happy puppy in the sprinkler. But, you know, a lot of the studies show that people are going to click on those videos, or they're going to click on that story. There's a ton of evidence for that, and it does create kind of this skewed idea of what goes on in somebody's community, and they've found in a lot of cases that people feel as if they're less safe in the world because they see so much of that when it might be the unusual that is, you know, that is being shown there. And people also do want to understand, especially in these crime settings, why did somebody do something so vicious and am I safe? That kind of leads together, that whole psychological connection. So I think that's really part of this conversation too.
You run into reporters, Sarah, we all do, right out of school, who mm-hmm. feel they need to make a name for themselves, push the envelope, put that tape together, that resume tape, so they can move on to a bigger market. And often they kind of cross that line of what's ethical and what isn't. As a news director, how do you weed out the good ones from the bad ones when you're hiring?
I wish I could say there's a perfect formula. I wish I could say there's something that they all say that I think, oh, that's it. They've got it. So much of it comes down to gut feeling. So much of it comes down to, if you're in that situation, how would you respond? If I were in that situation, how would I respond? How would I want them to – what kind of processes would I want them to have in place? What do I want them to be thinking about? And I think oftentimes that comes down to what have your experiences been? And you're right, we're hiring kids out of college.
Are you happy with the quality of your entry-level reporters? Do they come to you with a knowledge of the criminal justice system? Do they know what an arraignment and a preliminary hearing is and how trials work? Or is that something you've got to teach them on the job?
Almost always we have to teach them. And it's a big part of their first 6 months. Okay, this is your first arraignment. This is your first preliminary. This is your first. What's going to happen in that courtroom? What's going to happen on this scene? You've never covered a murder before. What are the questions we need to be asking?
And when I was a news director at Channel mm-hmm. 7, my ambition was to keep the good reporters on staff mm-hmm. because it is tiring having to constantly teach young people about these things. And it, you know, if you've got a reporter that you can send the person out to a trial and he knows what he's doing and you know you're going to get the story back and you're not going to get sued, you know.
It's a happy day.
That's a good thing. Ben, I imagine cops can tell the difference between a new reporter right out of school and someone who's been covering the news locally for a while.
Yeah, I mean, typically, I mean, our supervisors are the ones that have the conversations with the media. So, yeah, typically they've done that a fair amount, and it's, yeah, I mean, it's relatively easy to tell either, you know, what their experience level is or what their angle might be based on the types of questions they ask or how they ask those questions. So, you know, it just totally depends on what the story is. I mean, sometimes, you know, I've been interviewed by journalists who are very new, and you know, I just said, how about we just have a conversation about this, and I'm sure there'll be some good footage. And other times, you know, depending on what the situation is, I just wait for the questions. So it just mm-hmm. kind of depends, you know, how we proceed with that.
Well, I hate to say this, but we are completely out of time. And Meg, I want you to get one last word in here, but you're going to have to make it quick about this event coming up Wednesday night.
Well, be there. And if you want more information, you can go to beyondtheheadlineswisconsin.org, which is our website, and click on the Wausau section and learn more about also what's going on in other cities. We're rolling those out as soon as we get that all set up.
All right. Thank you, all three of you, for being with us today. I want to thank today's guests, Chief Ben Bliven of the Wausau Police Department, Sarah Gray, News Director of WSAW-TV7, and Meg Turville-Heitz, Grant Program Director of the Wisconsin Humanities Council and the Beyond the Headlines Project Manager. Reminder, the Beyond the Headlines kickoff takes place next Wednesday, May 9th at 7 p.m. at North Central Technical College. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to executive producer Rick Ryer and show producer Janice Schleiss. Special music today by Marvin Gaye, Inner Circle, Kendrick Lamar, Junior Mervin, Hedgehoppers Anonymous, Don Henley, and The Clash. If you missed part of the show, you can hear it again Friday evening at 7 on WHRM 90.9 FM Wausau. Thanks again for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin, and until next week, we're heading out of town.